welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. We really thank God for what God has been doing with us. I really do not want you to take it for granted. I want you to trust that everything that the Lord is doing with you through this Bible school, it will become a permanent, lifelong experience in your life, in the name of Jesus. Of course, my beat is to talk about career choice. And like I did last week, I spoke about academic excellence, but I had a slide that I prepared for both of them. And I made them available last week. So if you've not gotten it, it's in PDF copy. PDF. If you want the slide for academic excellence and career choice, please collect it from our brother's set. You can have it. But just like I did last week, I find myself speaking about what the Lord puts in my heart concerning academic excellence. And today also, even though there's something I've prepared for career choice, which you can go through yourself, in PDF, I find myself speaking about something also Of course, in the context of career choice, but this is what I believe the Lord has put in my spirit. And I will really appreciate it if you give your full attention. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 from verse 6 to 11. Are we all in Matthew 7? 6 to 11. I want to read. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Father, this morning, we thank you for the help you have given to us already. Thank you for all utterance you give to our brother, Brother Abraham. We thank you for the knowledge and spiritual insight you have brought into our lives. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, in this short moment of further study and discussion, we are asking that your spirit will preside over this event in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we ask that our heart will be the target of your word, and your word will prosper in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, the scripture I wrote on the board, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, that was a statement of assurance, a statement of confidence that Paul made at the junction, at the point when he was about to cross over into eternity. You know, this was a man that he was sitting at the end of his life, and he seemed to be looking back to the days that had gone ahead of him, the days that were before that day. And we see a man who is able to look at the years that he had lived. And you see what he said? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want somebody to quickly open the Ecclesiastes 12 so that you can realize and understand the import of this scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just read verse 1 for now. We'll still read a couple of verses there. Ecclesiastes 12. Who is reading for us? Who is reading? Okay. Please, I want King James now. Okay. Remember your Creator now, in the days of your youth. What's the next thing? While the evil days come not, okay, nor the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Can you imagine yourself sitting close to the end of your life, and you look at the life that you have lived, and the only thing you could say about it is, I have only wasted my life. I have wasted my life. He said, I have no pleasure in them. When a man sits at the end of his life and has nothing good to talk about his life, that is going to be the testimony of that man. The only thing he's going to be able to say is that, I have... You see, because when somebody gets to the end of their life, reality becomes very, very clear. You are about to cross over to eternity, and you are now seeing... Because you know at that moment that you know at that moment what really, really matters. And you look at your life like this, and you are wondering that you have not used your life for what really, really matters. So in contrast to Solomon, we see Paul saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want you to note that throughout your journey as a Christian, you are fighting a fight. You are in a fight. You are in a battle. You are in a warfare. And you must be fighting every day. He said, I have finished my course. When you check the original meaning of this word, course, in the Bible, it's a word that is also, that is a word that is the same thing with career. Do you understand that? Course and career, they are the same. Said, I have finished my career. And career also means race. The race that has been set before you. The particular pathway that heaven has what? Marked out particularly for you. As if your name is on that race. As if your name is on that lane. As if your name is on that particular course. So you see, when we are talking about career, we are not talking about what you can dream up. We are not talking about what you can think up. We are not talking about how to better your life. We are talking about heaven's program for your life. Do you understand that? Your career is heaven's program for your life. It is the pathway that God has marked out for you. And last week, Brother Abraham was talking from 2 Timothy, from chapter 1 and verse 9, that says that he has called us with what? He has called us with what? A holy calling. A holy calling. There is a definite calling of God on your life. Nobody is going to discover that calling of God for you. You are going to discover it yourself. And when you now discover this calling, because see, in my spirit, there is a serious matter. I'm looking at a matter that after you have laid your hands on that career that God had planned for you, after you have laid your hands on that course that heaven has what? Has mapped out for you. After you have now finally understood, okay, this is the reason why I'm living. I'm trying to draw your attention to a struggle. A struggle that you enter into at the point when you understand what your true career, what your true purpose is in life. There is a struggle that you have entered. And you see, I may not be so organized in my spirit, but I'm trusting that God will help me to be able to say what I need to say. I'm trying to help you to understand that we have talked so much about you must not miss God's purpose. You must discover it. Now, when you discover it, will you be true to it? That's why we came to Matthew chapter 6, chapter 7 that we are reading this morning. I want you to know that we read 6 to 11. And actually, if you look at from verse 7 to 11, it was talking about ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. Do you understand? We have been telling you that ask God about that thing. About the reason why he made you. About the career that he planned for your life. And do you know, I just want to tell you as simply as possible. That it is so simple that the Bible says everyone that asketh, receive it. We don't have time to waste on that.
It is so simple that the Lord said, everyone that seeketh does what? Finds. It is so simple that the Lord says, everyone that knocks, to him that knocks, the door will be what? It will be opened unto him. So let me speak to you this morning, just in case you are not yet clear about God's plan, God's purpose, God's career, God's course for your life. In case you are not yet clear, the Bible says what? Ask. And when you ask, you shall receive.
Well, even if you don't say amen, that's a biblical, you know, something that is established in the Bible.
Seek for it. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He said, those who seek him with all their heart, they will what? They will find him. Knock the door. And what? It will be opened unto you.
So, three things that God immediately brings to your mind now, before we look at what is this struggle that is ahead of us. As if the enemy may not struggle with you at the point when you are trying to ascertain what is God's particular plan for your life. As if the enemy may not struggle with you when you are trying to affirm or get assurance in your spirit what is the course that your life ought to take in life. As if the enemy may not struggle with you when you are trying to find out what is the target that your life ought to be set on. Because everyone that asketh does what? Receives. Everyone that seeks does what? Finds. And everyone that knocks, to him that knocks, the door will be opened unto him. So I want you to know this morning that as you ask, you will receive. As you seek, you will find. And as you knock, the door will be opened unto you. The reason for that is because the Bible says, if you, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that what? That ask of him. And do you know that your purpose in life, your career, the course that God has mapped out for your life, it is older than you? Do you know that? Do you know that God determined what you were going to do for him before he even made you? He determined. So you need to understand how critical the purpose of God is, and how certain it is, and how it is so clear in the heavens. Even though everything may look unclear here on earth, it is so clear in the heavens. But you know something? When you enter into the realm of prayer and you ask, what will you do now? You would have brought heaven down to your own atmosphere. Because as it is clear in heaven, it will also be clear to you. So you will know what is that particular thing that God has called you to do. You will know what is that course in life God is asking you to walk in. You will know what is that target that God is saying your life ought to be set on this. You will know it. But, like I told you, it is so clear, so simple that the Lord just said it so easily. You ask, you receive. You seek, you find. You knock, the door will be opened unto you. But go back to verse 6. Go back to verse 6. I want you to realize that why God is giving us an assurance that he is going to answer us, and that you are going to find that reason why he has created you, that you are going to be able to discover what is that cause, so that you too can run the race of life deliberately. So that you too can run the race of life with a sense of certainty. You are not running in confusion. You know, you are not running in such a way that when the wind of anything, of a new thing blows on you, it also blows you away. No, you take your stand. You are so sure. So why we see the Bible giving us certainty concerning the fact that we are going to be able to lay our hands on that which heaven is asking us to do? There is a serious warning in verse 6. A what? A serious warning. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine,
lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Before the Lord gives us an assurance that this matter, it will be a foregone issue, the Lord gives us a warning so that we can put it to heart. Before the Lord gives to us, do you understand? See, course that we're talking about, the career we're talking about, the purpose we're talking about, you are praying, you are saying, Lord, show it to me. When God show it to you, do you know what God has done? He has given it to you. Are you clear about that? God gives that precious thing to you, which is his calling, his purpose for your life. But you see, there is a warning. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your paths before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So, what is that holy thing that Jesus is saying we should not give unto dogs? Are you getting what I'm saying? It says, don't give that holy thing that I am going to give to you. Don't give it unto what? Unto dogs. Let's first of all understand, what is the holy thing that the Lord gives to us? Do you know that because God is holy, everything he will give to you is what? Is what? And, you know, above everything that God is going to give to us, his purpose, his calling, according to 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. What did he call it? A holy calling. The calling of God, the course that God has mapped out for you, the career that God has prepared for your life is what? Is a holy thing. And heaven is saying, don't give it to dogs. Don't do what? Don't give it to dogs. Your body, that is your own very life, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is what? It is God's holy temple. Don't do what? Don't give it to dogs. Your faith and your conscience, don't do what? Don't give it to dogs. So you see, let me say it very simply to you this morning. God would like you to know that your calling is a holy thing he gives to you, and you have to carry it and guard it jealously. Because as you take your journey in life, there are people all over your journey, scattered all over the course that you are taking, that are what? The Bible calls them a name. And what does it call them? Dogs. There are people that are dogs. They are not dogs because they are animals. They are dogs because that is heaven's verdict concerning their lives. They are dogs because that is what God calls them. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are dogs because, remember when Jesus was speaking to that woman, he said it's not fit to give children's bread to what? To dogs. They are dogs because they are not children of God. And they don't want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God. Those are dogs. They are dogs. They are dogs because they are filthy and they want to make you filthy. They are dogs because they want to convert you to their own thinking. They are dogs because they want to tell you that it doesn't matter. They are dogs because they want to make you to forget God's calling on your life. So if you are listening to me clearly this morning, I want to tell you that anyone or any group of people that the effect of their life towards you is an effect that wants to push you away from what God is saying, this is the cause for your life. What are those people? They are dogs. Anyone, any group of people, whatsoever they may be, author, writer, preachers, anybody for that matter, that the effect of their lives, or what they say, or the kind of counsel they give, that this thing, it is targeted at removing you from the very reason why God had called you What are they, please?
They are dogs. Can you quickly open to Revelation 22 and verse 15? Bible says in Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. See, this is the class that people who are dogs, this is the class they belong to. Dogs are in one class. And what are they? They are sorcerers, they are warmongers, they are murderers, they are idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, Philippians 3, verse 2, the Bible says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Are we together? You see, what I'm saying this morning is this. Anyone that wants to move you away from the plan of God for your life, what have they become? They have become dogs. And dogs are people who have no part or portion in the kingdom of God. They are people who are bent on changing your mind. Dogs are people who, you know, like Paul said, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's the purpose of dogs. Now, I'm telling you that these dogs are not the dogs on the street. Are they animals on the street? No, they are human beings. The Bible says, beware of them. So that's why it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. As if to say, there is a point you get to in your journey that you will be accosted. That is, you will be challenged by some kind of men or some kind of women. Some type of people, they will stand against the calling of God on your life. They will stand against the reason why God said He has created you. They will stand against the particular target God is saying your life should be after. And once these people stand, they will be almost irremovable. Do you understand that? And when the Bible says, give not that which is only in your hand, don't give it to dogs. It is as if when these people stand before you, it's as if the natural thing people would do is to do what? Is to surrender the only thing that they are carrying and just give it to them. How will God help you? How will God help me? Such that the only thing that God has entrusted into your hand, which is God's call over your life, you will not surrender it to dogs when they demand for it. I want you to know that dogs are, you know, essentially people that are against the will of God. People that are against the doctrine of the Bible. People that have nothing to do with the word of God. And they don't want to know whatever Christianity you have accepted. They are people who the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1. Bible says, not only do they do evil. Even people that are doing evil, they approve them. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1. Who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure in them that do them. Now, can you please quickly go to Psalm 22? Psalm 22. Just follow me. Don't worry, we will be able to gather these things together now. Psalm 22. I want to show to you
what are these set of people, what are they set to do to you? They have a mission, they have a purpose. In Psalm 22 from verse 16 to 20, the Bible says, from verse 16 and 20, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog." There is a power called what? The power of the dog. Do you know in Yoruba they say if a sheep walks with a dog, what will happen to that sheep? It will eat shit. When I'm talking about the power of the dog, I'm talking about the power of association. The power of what? Association. Evil communication corrupt what? Good manners. There is a power of the dogs, and there is an influence they can wield over your life. And let me tell you something. If your life is not deeply rooted in Christ, their influence will do what? To sweep you away. You will not be swept away in the name of Jesus. What are they set to do against us? He says, "For dogs have compassed me." Listen, anyone that has found the purpose of God for their life will be compassed about by what? By dogs. Prophetically speaking, this scripture, Psalm 22, was speaking about Christ. Alright? Christ was set on his mission. He was set on his purpose. He was set to fulfill the Father's mandate. But what happened? Dogs gathered around him. They wanted to do what? They wanted to discourage him. They wanted him to surrender the call of God upon his life. That's why Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. He was praying. He said, "Lord, this body is too much. Let this cup pass over me. But not my will. Let thy will be done." So you see, dogs compassed him around. And that's the same way you'll be compassed around. You see, sometimes some of us might be praying. I might be asking, why can God not take you to a place where you will not find anybody that will have evil influence over you? Can there not be a place where there will be no sinner around you, no, you know, evil way of life around you that could influence you or that could be a source of temptation to you? There is no such thing. That's why the Bible says that I am not praying, Lord, that you should take them out of this world. What am I praying? That you should be with them, that you should keep them. Dogs compassed him around. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. And when they enclosed him, what did they do? They pierced his hands and his feet. So I want you to know that any friendship, any association that makes it impossible for you to carry, to press on in your Christian life, these are the dogs that you must beware of. According to Philippians 3:2, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conscientious. What is their target? They will pierce your hands. And once they pierce your hands cannot touch holy things again. Alright? God will not be served with what? Human hand. Once they have pierced your hand, they have made your hand useless. They have made your hand weak. Is it not with your hand that you will carry the work of God that God has given to you and run with it? Dogs will make your hand to be what? Weak. Because they have given you something else to do. They will pierce your feet so that you cannot run. Is it not with your hand and your feet? Your feet, you run. Your hand, you carry the work of God that God gives to you. The career that God gives to you, you carry with your hand. You fight the good fight of faith. But when you surrender, when you give in to dogs, I'm talking about, don't allow yourself to compromise. That's why I'm saying, fight to finish. God is going to show you your career. He's going to show you your course. He's going to show you your purpose. That's if he has not. He will show you. But you need to beware of the dogs. Who, even though you have discovered the career, you have discovered the purpose, you have discovered the call of God upon your life, you are as good as if you have not discovered it. You are just good for nothing. That will not happen to you. That's why we read Ecclesiastes 12. That you don't want to sit at the end of your life and you are saying, I have no pleasure in this life that I have lived. I have no pleasure in it. Why? Because you allow dogs to do what? To intercept you. You allow them to do what? To influence you. You allow them to do what? To pierce your hand and to pierce your feet. That is, they beat you with their mouth. They influence you. Now, go back to Matthew 7. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Do you know what swine is? Swine. See, when I read my Bible and I'm looking for swine, what is it that swine could mean in the mind of God? What does the Lord mean by do not surrender? Do not cast your pearls to swine. And as I read the Bible, in the book of Matthew 8 and verse 31, Jesus had cast out demon. Jesus was going to cast out demon from some people's, from a particular man's body. And they begged him. And what did they say? They said, please, cast us into the swine that is nearby. Do you remember that scripture? And he said, okay. The Bible said, he gave them leave. And he casted them into the swine. And what happened to the swine? What happened to the swine? They were drowned. Don't cast your pearls to swine. Because swine is everything that is on its way to destruction. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, the world passeth away. And it's what? It's lost thereof. Everyone that doeth the will of God will do what? It will abide forever. Anyone, anything that is passing away, see what the Bible, the Lord is using to describe them. Swine. So when we're talking about swine, I believe that God is showing us that there is a system in this world. We call it the world system. And God just calls it one. He says, swine. Don't cast your pearls to swine. Don't allow the world system to use your gift. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your pearls, your precious things, they are the gifts that God has given you. And the gifts that the Lord has given you is meant to run the race. It's meant for the career that God has planned for you. It's meant for the calling, the purpose that God has given to you. Don't submit it unto the world system. Because you see, like I told you last week, as God has, just like God have plans for your career, for your skills and your abilities that are resident in you, the world system also have their own plan. And they would like to hijack you from the hand of God and use you for their own destructive purpose. And do you know what will happen? Once you submit your powers unto the swine, the fate of the swine will also be the fate of that person. Because the swine, immediately the demons possessed them. What happened to them? They ran into the ocean and drowned in it. The system of this world that looks fine, they are demon possessed. I want you to know. They are what? I'm trying to help you to realize that God is taking you serious. When will you take yourself serious? When God says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, is it not because he gave you something that is holy? And is it not because he is saying that, look, don't cheapen yourself? It's because they know that you are carrying something holy. That's why temptation will suddenly increase around your life. That's why there will suddenly become a pressure, serious, severe pressure to compromise. Is it not because there's something holy? The pressure was so much, and Judas, one of the apostles of Christ, what happened to him? He gave up. He surrendered his apostleship. He gave it up. Do you understand what I'm saying? He surrendered, you know, the only thing he was carrying to the dogs. He was under the power of the dog. He surrendered the precious, the powers that he was carrying. He surrendered it to swine, that is, to the world system. He became like them. He collected money. For doing what? For betraying Jesus. So when we are talking about give not holy things to dogs, don't cast your pearls to swine. We are saying, don't betray Jesus. Don't do what? A man that didn't betray Jesus is poor. What did he say? I have fought the good fight. What was the fight that he was fighting? He was constantly fighting against that work, those associations, anything around him that wants to make him to change his mind concerning what God has asked him to do. That was his fight. I remember Jude was saying that when I gave diligence to write to you, it became more necessary in my heart to write to you concerning the faith, to defend, all right, the faith that was once given unto us. These are the things that this world is after. When temptations are increasing around you, when pressure to compromise are increasing around you, do you know what the devil is looking for? It's because you carry something that is worth their chase. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You carry something that is worth their what? Their chase. So you need to make a definite decision. And you know, I told you last week that when you take a decision to God's presence and you lay it there in God's presence like a sacrifice so that heaven's fire can fall upon it, what happened to that decision? What happens to that decision? Eh? Eh? Ah, you have forgotten. When you take a decision to God's presence, you lay it there like a sacrifice so that fire can fall upon him from heaven. That decision becomes a consecration. That's what I told you. Your decision is not enough. You need to take your decision to the presence of God. Because it is the fire that falls upon him from heaven that makes that decision what? Permanent. So what is the decision we are making today? We are making a decision not to give the only thing, the only calling that God has given to us. To what? To the dogs. And by that, it means we will choose not to associate with anyone that will do what? That will confuse us. And that will turn us away from the purpose of God for our lives. Can you become so radical that you don't want to have anything to do with anybody or anything or any material that seeks to empty the love of God, that seeks to empty the presence of God, that seeks to empty the power of God in your life? Can you be so radical that you will say, Lord, I am making this decision. Anyone, no matter how good, no matter how much I like this particular friend, no matter how much I like this particular program, no matter how much I like this particular thing, but once the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and you see that this person, this thing, is actually trying to do what? To lure me. Do you understand? Do you know that when you begin to have serious affection for the things of this world, when you begin to now have a desire to love this world and to so that you can also enter the rat race and be chasing what others are chasing, do you know what? That once that happens to you, it is because you have dropped the only thing that you were carrying. The calling of God constrains us. Do you understand that? The calling of God, the career, the course that God has given to you, once you are carrying it faithfully, what does it do to you? It constrains you. It makes it difficult for you to just join everything or just be a part of everything going on around you. Because that course, that career, that calling, it makes you fixed. The Bible says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. The calling of God makes your heart to be fixed. And even though you are troubled, even though there is tribulation all around you, even though there is suffering, and Brother Abraham says something that Jesus preferred to suffer than to displease God. Even though there is a lot of suffering around your life, because of the fact that you are saying that I must finish my course, what do? You take your stand. Because carrying the calling of God, carrying that course, carrying that career is more important. It is more honorable than yielding to the temptation of a moment or of the moment. Are you hearing me? When you are carrying the calling of God or the purpose of God or you are carrying the career of God, you are carrying something that is eternal. That's why the Bible says he has set eternity in their hearts. God sets eternity in your heart, and your heart burns with a passion. You become unstoppable. You become uncontrollable. You become indivisible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there is a burning passion in your heart. God has set eternity in your heart. So as you receive the purpose of God, the career of God, the course of God for your life, as you understand it, you must ask the Lord to sink it deep into your heart so that it becomes a burning passion that is unstoppable. Do you know that there is a fire that is burning in this world? It is called strange fire. If you are not carrying also a fire in your heart, that fire that is burning for the purpose of God for you, that is saying every moment that even though he slay me, I will trust him. That is saying every time that I will pursue this calling. Even if it takes my death, I will pursue. Like Esther said, if I perish, I perish. When you have that kind of passion and you are making that kind of proclamation, do you know that the strange fire that is burning in this world will not be able to burn you? Do you understand that? That's why we are saying, see, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it's already certain that the door will be open to you. It's already certain that you will receive this understanding. It's already certain that you will be able to receive the calling of God. It's already certain that you will be able to understand what is the reason why God... That is already certain. But what you need to now contribute, put your input, what you need to now do now is, will you now ask that this thing that will set into your spirit, that heaven will send their fire to fall upon it, so that your heart is what? Is burning. And so that the strange fire that burns in this world is not able to what? To burn you. It's not able to divert you. It's not able to turn you aside from the will of God, from the purpose of God. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your past before swine, lest they trample you. Once you have surrendered your calling to the dogs and your giftings and your abilities to the world system, the swine, what will they do? Once you have done that, the only thing they know how to do is that they will turn around and do what? And trample such a person. You see, when they trample you, it's a sign of authority. If you surrender the only thing you are carrying, which is God's calling on your life, if you surrender the gifts that God has put in your life, which is the powers that you are carrying, then the world system will put their leg. Then the world system will put their leg upon you as a mark of authority. They decide what you do and what you don't do. Are we together? They have unlimited authority over you, and they will turn again and rend you. So, let me conclude by saying that there is a responsibility that is dropping on your laps this morning. And the responsibility is that there is a fight you need to fight. And it is called the good fight. And you are fighting that fight every day. You cannot finish your course if you are not fighting that fight. Do you understand that? And it is as you finish your course, that is when you are sure that there is a crown that is laid up for you in heaven. Don't let your Christian testimony to be destroyed. Let's read the scripture finally. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. I'll just read it and then it says, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. Dog is returned to his vomit. The soul, that is the swine, that is the pig, has returned to the mire, that is to the gutter. The Lord saved you. Alright? And then he is calling you. Do you understand that? But what these people that the Bible calls dogs and the world system that the Bible calls swine, what they intend to do to you and to me is to make it to go back to your vomit. To make it to go back into the gutter where you are from. So that you can have the same destiny with them. And you don't want to have the same destiny with them. Praise the Lord.
Let's pray together. What is it that makes men to surrender the only thing that they carry to the dogs of this world? What is it that makes men to surrender the powers, the precious things that they carry to the swine or the pigs of this world, which is the world system? What is it? What is it? Lord Jesus, how was it that the enemy, the devil, was not able to turn you against your purpose? Even when he was using Peter, when he was speaking through the mouth of Peter, you said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Say, for you savor the things. You do not savor the things of God, but the things of men. You mind the things of this world." Would you like to pray and ask God to help you to be able to succeed like Jesus succeeded? How Jesus was able to confront every attempt of the enemy over his life, every influence of the dog. You know, dogs, like we said, they always want to turn you against the call of God for your life. There are people around you, they may be nice people, but their lives are not for the kingdom of God. They are not set on going to heaven. Lord, deliver me from the power of the dog. The influence that comes from evil association. People that are bent on going to hell, but they want to change your mind from fulfilling the call of God for your life. Save me, Lord. Don't let me surrender my giftings and my talent to the world system. The world system is not capable. The world system have no right to use my gift and my talent. The Lord abominates it. The gift and talents that you have, that I have, they are holy. And only God should use them, not this world system. Beg God to help you. Thank you, Father. Like you helped Paul, please help us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we just thank you for helping us. Lord, thank you for showing us that concerning the matter of our career and our course and our calling, as we ask, we are going to receive. As we seek, we are going to find. As we knock the door of heaven, it will be opened unto us. But Lord, we see you saying something more important. We see you saying that when this calling, when this purpose, when it finally drops on our laps, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to throw it to the dogs? Are we going to give it to the swines? Lord, like you helped Jesus, please help us in the name of Jesus. Like you helped Paul, please help us in the name of Jesus. But we see men like Judas, men like Esau. Esau, the Bible said, for one morsel of meat, he surrendered his birthright. He gave it out. He gave it away. And when he sought repentance, when he sought his inheritance with tears, he could not find it because he could not find repentance in his heart. Oh Lord, we are asking. We don't want to lose this holy thing we are carrying. Help us to guard it jealously. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We don't have time. We have just 5 minutes. So if there are questions, maybe we can take two. Praise the Lord. If there are questions, maybe we can take two. Okay. One. Who is the second person? Nobody yet. Okay. Please let her have the mic.
Praise the Lord. My question is this. We were talking about the dogs, people that are against God and blah, blah, blah. And my question is, okay, we should keep away from them. We should keep away from them. Then what if in your own house you have people like that that discourage you from, like, your growth in God, as in they are not helping you?
Praise the Lord. Let me quickly say that, please don't go and call anybody dogs. Don't. May God help you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't go and call your family members. Don't go and say, because you are against the purpose of God for my life, you are a dog. No. Please, I beg you. God is only giving us a picture. He's only showing us that anybody that is standing against what God is saying you should do, at that moment, it's a revelation in your heart. That person is what? He wants to drag you into the same debt that he is in. So how do you cope with that kind of thing in your house if there are people like that? So I like, that's why I first of all the warning that please don't call anybody dog. Now, we have been learning a lot of things in this Bible school that are sufficient to help us. Remember, I told you that we are living amongst them, and God will not take us out from among them. Will he? No. See, the proof that what you are carrying in your heart is genuine, that your faith in Christ is genuine, is your ability to be able to what? Live among them. Now, I'm not saying by your power, but I'm saying that if truly they've taught us about devotion, if you are having that devotion, you know what devotion does to you? It makes your spirit to be what? To be alive. For that day, it's as if you are carrying a fire, that any strange fire that comes your way, what happens to it? That fire will just lick it up. Now, once somebody is having devotion like that, and you are reading your Bible, God is speaking to you. What else? That is happening so that you are able to cope with the challenges and the pressures that comes against the presence of God in your life and the call of God upon your life. Do you understand? So the instruments, the resources are already there for you. You already even know the answer. Do you understand? As you have been doing, as you apply all the things that they've been teaching us, you will see that it is so easy. But you will see that once your life is, you are not making progress in Bible study, you are not, making progress in obedience, devotion is beginning to become a thing of the past. That's when you begin to struggle. Are we together? That's when we struggle. But when these things are in your life, they are the agencies, the resources that God uses to do what? To give us help day by day. That's why in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that we should now draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive what? Help in time of what? Need. So you are always in need. As you receive help in prayer, in Bible study, in fellowship with the brethren, what is happening to you? You are getting strength in your life. Praise the Lord. I think that's all. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lamide. Right now, we'll be going for outreach. Why are you doing your face like that, Rita? And the field, it's a secondary school, one of the secondary schools that God has asked us to work on. And by God's grace, we'll all be going there. Then in getting there, number one, I'll need two representatives from each group that will be ministering there. Nobody will be ministering from the leadership. We are all going to be ministering, so you should all get ready. So I would need, from each group, I would need two representatives that will be ministering in the world. You'll be having, like, let's say 20 minutes each in each of the classes. Then we'll pray from here to Abliud for the sisters. That's prayer walk. You do prayer walk from here to Unity Estate. Prayer walk is you will not enter, you will not go by bus. That means you are going to be trekking from here, praying from here, walking down to Abliud. Then when you get to Abliud for the sisters, God helping us, you can take a bike, tricycle, down to the place. For the brothers, we are going to trek all through to the place. Hallelujah. So the brothers will be trekking from here.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8-0058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321,
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life